Welcome to Generation Now, the show by and for millennials and Gen Z. I'm your host, Troy McDonald. This show today highlights what I love about this program. It's all about highlighting and telling the stories of people who are doing amazing things in service to our community. My guest today was named the 2021 Boys and Girls Club Youth of the Year and was granted a full ride scholarship to Carthage College. Please welcome Arman Harris to the program. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. It's been a fantastic day, and it's going to get even better for our audience now that you're here. So let's start from the beginning. How long have you been in Kenosha? Were you born and raised? Where'd you go to school? What was it like growing up?
Well, first, I was born actually in Racine, Wisconsin, but my life, I've been raised here in Kenosha. I come from a Christian household, going from pretty much school, church, and home ever since I was in elementary and middle school. For elementary, I went to Frank Elementary, and then for middle, I went to Mahone. And then in June, I'll be graduating from Harborside Academy.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. And you touched on it, just how important family was to you. Because I think I know for me, my mother was such an integral part in my success. And so could you talk about how important your family was as you were moving through your life early on?
I think family is really important. I think family as a backbone and your foundation of your whole entire life. And then I also think it's like your first school, pretty much. You pretty much learn before you go out, rather it'd be starting in kindergarten. You really learn the foundations of the world and foundations of public foundations of how to act in public.
That's so important. Those foundational lessons. Is there a lesson that you remember having to learn the hard way, or one that is particularly memorable that you had to learn from your parents?
We had a rule of no running in the house. That's one I really learned the hard way, of not running out, especially with socks on, because a majority of our homes had wood floors. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm gonna run. My mom's not here, okay. So I took off running, and I slipped as soon as I hit wood floor running. Yeah, it stopped real quick. So I believe no running in the house is one of the rules and one of the lessons I learned the hard way.
Oh man, I remember growing up, and you're too young to even remember cassette tapes, which were before CDs. And my mother had a collection of cassette tapes. And I was a curious kid, and so I unraveled some cassette tapes out of the cassettes. And I got the proverbial pink slipper that day and learned, don't mess with mom's music, Motown. So I'm curious, because you are so successful, right? Being awarded by Boys and Girls Club, getting this scholarship, which we'll touch on later. But how did you realize that such a path was open to you through education and through service, when so many other young Black men don't feel like they have that path?
Well, first, I would like to acknowledge that there are different. I see different community leaders right here in the city of Kenosha that reached out to me rather before I was named the Youth of the Year for the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha. But they really reached out to me because of who I am personally and how they see me operate, rather be in school or outside of school. They really see the destiny that I'm really destined for greatness. So I'll say that it's about the character piece of it. Here at Harborside, we believe that aside of being a great learner, if you have great character, you can be successful that way. So I'll say the big piece is character, of being who, when behind closed doors, who are you behind closed doors other than what you can show on paper of, yeah, you have straight A's, but not be so much of a good person and good personality.
That is such a good point. That there are so many people who have the accolades, the titles, who are not very nice people to be around. Not necessarily in this community. I haven't encountered that, but you know, you just hear those stories of people who do great things in their lives and turn out to be very poor people. And you're so right. Character is important. Was there a point in your life when you kind of discovered that character was extremely important to your identity, how you thought of yourself?
I'll say, yeah, because before I was named the Youth of the Year, I will go to different places, but since I work in like different organizations here in Kenosha, I will be considered as a familiar face. So I was always told, even by my mom when I was younger, to always carry yourself how you want to see yourself if you were in a different person. Meaning, like, if you are going out, always carry yourself like you are somebody, because you never know who's watching you. Because it can open up many doors, because some people can watch you for many years and then come out when you really need that opportunity to open up, that door will open up right when you need it to be, just by having a great character.
See, and that is so important, to be who you are supposed to be and carry yourself in the world. I mean, Dr. Phil has this great quote where he says, you teach people how to treat you. Right. And when you go into the world and you expect greatness from yourself, that radiates to other people. I want to talk about kind of the last year. We saw the killings of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and you're a young man in high school graduating this June, servicing and being of service to other organizations as well as Boys and Girls Club. Did the last year kind of reframe your life, or did it change how you thought about yourself?
I wouldn't say so much as a change. I'll say it was definitely a confirmation of me being like confirming that there are good people in this world. And I am proud to say that I'm a part of that percentage of those good people.
Interesting take. So let's talk about your work with the Boys and Girls Club. How did you get started working with them?
Well, first, when I was a freshman in high school, I started just out volunteering. They needed a coat check person, to put the kids' book bags and coats and hang them up on a hanger and then put them in the coat closet and what have you. And so they asked me to come, volunteer. And I'm okay, yeah, so that's good, all right. So I'm getting the hang of it. And then they officially hired someone for that spot. And then I just went back, but volunteering, doing, other things, helping little kids with their homework, or just, some days being a teen. And then at the Boys and Girls Club, they have a program called the Summer Youth Employment Program. And I was picked and chosen to participate in that program, and I was placed in the Boys and Girls Club Youth Center, doing a variety of different things, helping out in the classroom, helping out with the lunch programs and all that good stuff. And then that stopped, after the summer. And then I went back to volunteering. And so, just really getting my face, out there, and really getting my resume. And then later on, the Boys and Girls Club, they received a grant for the renovation of the multi-purpose rooms to be turned into a tween center from the ages of 9 to 12 and grades 4th through 7th. And then I am now the current membership clerk for the Tween Center, which opened up as a permanent job through all my volunteer work and everything that I did.
That is just remarkable. I'm blown away. You're a freshman in high school. The obvious, or not the obvious, but the traditional path is to just go buck wild doing high school things, yeah. Right? But you said, no, like I want to give back, and spent a lot of time, like you said, showing your face and building credibility with the people at the Boys and Girls Club. So when an opening happened, here you are, a membership clerk. Could you talk about if there was an internal dilemma that you faced, or if you were able to balance both kind of the high school being, you know, having friends and going out and that kind of thing and volunteering, or was there a dilemma?
There was really majority of the piece of it was where do I find time? My time management was really big. And do I do this? Do I do that? How can I do extracurricular activities? And then when my permanent job opened up, how can I maintain being a student without, you know, yes, I'm a staff member here, but how can I, you know, balance between the two?
Right. And what were some of the takeaways that you, as you were kind of going through that internally, what did you take away? Has it become easier to balance over time?
It hasn't. It hasn't, but you really work up a work ethic to tolerate it and to actually become more effective at it, to where it won't stress you out and to won't you can go through it.
So are you working full-time, part-time? How has the Boys and Girls Club, because I'm sure they, of course, they want to help you be a successful student. So have you received a lot of support from that side?
Oh, yes. And I am working part-time. But my supervisors, and just not my supervisor, but all my coworkers, the whole staff of the Boys and Girls Club, they really push me. They actually offer me a time off, like, okay, what's going on? Do you need time? Do your homework? Do you need time? So they're really supportive in everything that's about school. They always say education comes first. So if I ever need to take off because there's something going on with school, they have no problem with it. So I'm really appreciative of everybody that's at the Boys and Girls Club because they're really supportive.
One of the most touching things, because I found out about you, Armand, through a press release at the Boys and Girls. It was like their email newsletter that my boss sent me. And one of the quotes in that kind of press release announcing that you were the youth of the year, such a huge thing. And what they interviewed a student who said that it was something about the tone in your voice that touched that student. How important do you think it is for other young people to see young people, big brothers, right, in that same space?
Well, first I would like to, so I'm about to, you know, graduate. One of our final projects that we're working on is a This I Believe statement. My This I Believe statement will consist of the topic of words having power. And I really believe that the words do have, because I in the statement it says that words can either tear you down or build you up. Words can really do a whole plethora of things. And I go in to talk about that, how I can say something, especially with kids, that everything you say can affect them in the most smallest way. You might don't think that it affect them, but really, it's like a whole nother pathway, if you will. I believe that my tone, so I was kind of happy when I read that, because I just think I'd just be talking, or, you know, rather be teaching a class and whatnot. And really, I'm actually helping them through, it could be one of the worst times at that moment, one of the worst times that they can be going through as a kid. So it really made me glad and really made me happy that I am just, you know, rather me just doing, I'm just think I'm just doing what I do every day, but I'm actually really causing a change. Rather, I don't have to be in front of a TV. I don't have to be in front of, you know, this big crowd, but just right here in my hometown.
And that is so important, especially I'm a millennial, but Gen Z, who is caught up in TikTok and everything else, like my generation was with Instagram, that the fame is more important than the service. And you don't need cameras. You don't need a ginormous platform. It really is, like you say, just using your words effectively. And I want to touch on something you said there that I think is so powerful. You said that you deal with kids who are going through potentially some of the toughest times in their lives at such young ages. And you are what, 17, 18 years old yourself? You're a very young man. So how do you balance your stuff that you've got going on with the fears and struggles that these other younger people are going through?
I actually really balance it, and I'm really successful at that because I'm so young. Because the first thing that they go through is that, the more adult, you know, route, they really don't understand. You know, the kids say that they don't understand them. Kids say that the adults don't understand them. But since I'm so young, I can actually use what I go through, rather be on a daily basis or what I go through, period, to really kind of work my way in of how can they see it in my eyes as well. Like, oh yeah, so Mr. Armand, he deals with this as well. How does he do? So they ask me though, how do I do it? So I can talk them through it of how to deal with it, and it can make their situation kind of better, so they can get through whatever they're going through.
This next question might be a big question, but I still want to ask it because it ties perfectly into what we were just talking about. Okay. What do you think parents get right and get wrong in these communications? Because as you said, these kids are coming to you because they feel they can relate to you more. So what do parents get right and wrong in your opinion?
In my opinion, I'll say parents, they speak from experience. They want, but I believe I can speak for all parents, that every parent wants what's best for their children or for their child. But as we all know, that the world is changing constantly, and then the flow of things might not be the same from when they were kids. I think it's just finding the switch of where it's at, of what's still the same from back then and what's different from back then, and how can we incorporate into home teachings.
That is so true, because some things have evolved. And I'm curious about that because, you know, you're 18.
Yes.
18. So you're a fully grown adult. Have you had to recalibrate that in your own life? Because you can make whatever decision you want to make now. Have you had to kind of recalibrate those relationships with people around you in that same regard?
Yes, because there's some life-changing decisions that I have to make concerning college that's going to say a whole lot for years later on down the road. And some of the people that I've asked, they are still speaking from experience, but not really speaking of what's the reality at that time.
I'm a firm believer that and folks, we are about halfway through the program here. You are listening to Generation Now. I'm here with the 2021 Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha Youth of the Year, Armand Harris, who is just doing fantastic things. And we're talking about how his path has become so successful, and he's giving back as he continues to flourish. And one of the things that I think is so important is that highly successful people have some sort of motto or credo that they live by. For some people, that could be religion. For some people, it could be the universe, spirituality. For some people, it could be, I mean, who cares, cake? I don't know. But I think every successful person has something that guides them. Could you talk about what guides you, centers you?
I'm a very musically inclined person. I love music, but primarily I love gospel music. But really of how I deal with it, whether I reach a tough time in my life, I isolate myself from that situation. Not from the world, but I isolate myself from the situation and really figure out what in the situation can I control. And from me figuring that out, from that moment, what steps can I take forward in changing this situation and turning it around so I can move forward?
That is, oh my goodness. I'm just in total agreement there, because there's a very famous doctor who Oprah had on her show years ago, before you were probably even born, or very little. And this doctor had a stroke, but could still sense what was going on around her. And once she came out of the stroke and had her language skills restored, thank goodness, she put a sign in front of her office that said, "You are responsible for the energy you bring into this space." Mm-hmm. And that is so true, that when people are in my orbit that I do not need, that are not positive, I isolate that situation from my life. And I think all successful people do that, because they have to figure out a way not to relitigate the past, but to move forward. Was there a moment where you questioned yourself, had self-doubt, and how did you move past that?
Well, yeah, I'll say that. It actually happens quite often. To where I'll be doing something and I'm like, well, am I really causing change, or am I really, you know, changing? I want to say changing people's lives, but, you know, causing a positive impact. But then when I get people that text me or people that I see in public and they say, "We really love what you're doing," or, you know, you did this, and it really helped me like this, I'm like, well, that was confirmation that I am doing something. So that's how I really move past it, is receiving the confirmation that I'm causing positive impact in the community and world at large.
That is such an interesting point, because I think we get so wrapped up in that. But I think we also have to, and what people should take away listening is, you know how in this world of, as we said earlier, self-isolation of Netflix and Hulu, for someone to take time out of their day to come up to you and say thank you, I think means maybe more now than ever, because there are so many distractions to prevent that. And so for someone to take that time out of their day to say that means that you are definitely making change. You mentioned that you love gospel music. Is there, or just music in general, is there a certain song that you go to when you're having those moments that you're just like, this will help me get through, or this always kind of picks up the step?
A certain song. I have a certain playlist, but the certain song I probably will go to is "Lord, You Are Good" by Todd Galbert.
Now, my audience knows that I love Mariah Carey, which is probably before, well, she's been around a long time. But "Hero" by her is like the song I always go to. And it's like, okay, I will get through whatever I am getting through. Yeah. Carthage College, full ride scholarship. Talk about why you decided Carthage. Like, how did this whole thing come about? That's so huge.
Going back, you know, to the Boys and Girls Club, I've been doing it for about three or so years, you know, just working with kids, because it's never a dull moment with them. They always keep you laughing. There might be some down times, but for the most part, they always put a smile on my face and always keep me laughing. And I'm like, I said, is this something that I will want to do for the rest of my life? Rather being in a classroom or even being in an office, but still dealing with students all day long. And I'm like, yeah, the Boys and Girls Club helped me realize that. And Carthage, one of their biggest programs is their education program. They offer a whole lot of opportunities through the education program. Like when you graduate, they push you into the career field. They have different connections that way. And then they have a whole lot of hands-on things concerning of how you would be in a classroom or when you become an educator. So Carthage really has a whole lot of opportunities for that field I'm trying to go into, or that I am going into, I should say. So yeah, that's what really was the attention grabber and the jacket grabber for me for Carthage.
When you got that call or email, whatever it was, letter in the mail, that you were going to get the scholarship, what was your reaction, your family's reaction?
Yeah, really wasn't no time for reactions because it was just filled with screaming for about a good 5 minutes.
So you mentioned earlier that you want to kind of continue in this kind of early childhood education field. Mm-hmm. It's so important that there are Black teachers. Like, there are not that many African-American teachers. And did that kind of weigh into it? Or was it just like, this is what I love to do and
that
I'm going to do it?
That actually had a piece into it of being not so much a part of the, pretty much not being a part of what statistics has already set for a typical African-American male already. We know the statistics already. And then on top of that, coming from a single parent household as well. So I'm all for, beating all odds, being against all odds, and actually moving against what society has set for a Black male.
So interesting you say that. I came from a single parent household as well. My mom is the most important person in my life. What does she say to you, your mom, about everything that you've done and everything you continue to do for the community? She must be so proud.
Oh yeah, she is one. She's my number. I'm not gonna say one. She's my number one fan. Every single thing, rather I have a vision of what I'm trying to do, she gives 110% of whatever she can do. If it's in her power, she's 10 toes right behind me. She talks over, she discusses the pros and cons of it or the repercussions of it. And I'm like, well, wherever it throws at me, I say, I'm ready for it. When I say that, she's like, all right, let's do it then. And she's always 10 toes behind me. So she always acknowledged that she's very proud of me. She always cries, but but it's tears of joy because I've seen her go through a lot and all. Since elementary school, I've seen her go through a lot, but I've seen her persevere through it. And I've seen her zeal to create legacy for her children, for whatever she goes to do and how she does it with great and how she does it with pride. I wouldn't say great pride, but I've seen her and that's what keeps me going because I see her. She's she's my role model and she's that person. I'm like, yep, my mama did this, my mom did this, my mom did that. I'm going to do it because she did it. Not so much of what she's doing as a career choice, but more of the zeal and the work ethic, hustle, if you may. But yeah, I believe I get my work ethic from her to always keep moving.
That is, I'm getting emotional as you say that because that's how I feel. I'm currently getting my master's degree and I'm doing it in part so that her struggle as a single mom doesn't go in vain. Huh, I could tear up here. Okay. We have one final question here. But what's your biggest hope for the future, for your future?
I was just talking about this earlier with my principal and one of my deans that I'm going to, is more of a pathway, is to do, I finally decided to teach fifth grade for elementary education, and then go the route to go into administration, first become a dean, and then hopefully one day to run my school, run a school, not run my school, run a school.
Wow. Okay, so here's the thing. I have said that publicly on the air that I do not want to have kids, but your story is so compelling. I want to have kids and have them go through your, I'm kidding. I get to go through your fifth grade class and then go to your school because they'd be better kids for it. And Kenosha, wherever you decide to teach, I can see it now. And those kids are just going to be so much better for it to have you there. Armand Harris, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, bye, everybody.